Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Here we come to a book which was written to the church. And as I look at it, I consider as I go through the church what kind of instruction that it says that is there. It's instruction that's focused and centered on how a church should remember what they're made of, being made of both of not only Jews but also Gentiles, and remember the unity that they're to have and the function that they are to have as a church. We look and consider God's Word, and we see how it begins. And we, the book of Ephesians, Paul writing to the apostle, or the apostle writing to the saints that are there. And immediately he begins with the blessings that they have received. We look at the scripture and we see the blessings that we have as children of God. One of those blessings being having a friend like Jesus. It was 100 years ago that Joseph Scriven, he took and recorded those words to his mother that was sick. He was from Ireland, and he moved, he failed many times in Ireland, and so he moved to Canada. And here in Canada, he heard that his mother was sick, and he couldn't go back and send her, or go back and visit her, care for her in her illness. So he decided to write a poem. And in writing this poem, he began with the words, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." We look at that and we see that song as a song of comfort, don't we? But consider this, it's not just a song of comfort, it's also a song of confidence. Consider that. In this song of confidence, what you find is that not only is it that you can that God comforts, but you can actually go to Him in prayer. We look at Ephesians chapter 3, looking at our passage this morning, and looking at Ephesians chapter 3, we find here, in starting in verse 8, about the confidence we can have in Jesus Christ. You can have confidence in God because of Christ's incomprehensible riches. See here in verse 8. "To me, Paul, who am the least of the saints, this grace was given. The grace of being able to share the mystery he mentions earlier in chapter 3. That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, to make all people see what is the fellowship of that mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now by the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenlies, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom we have access with confidence, whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." Here in this passage, we find the confidence that we can have in approaching God. But that confidence is wrapped up in the mystery that he was given and is shared. And that mystery is revolves around the unsearchable riches of God. Or you can see here, you have seen the Christ incomprehensible riches. I look, he talks about this grace that was given to him. They can preach to the Gentiles this mystery. And that mystery, being the unsearchable riches of Christ, is a salvation by faith for all. It includes both Jews and Gentiles. It was not something just for the one or the other. Understand that this mystery was given originally for the Jews. God reveals himself to Adam, right? He shows Adam, he walked with Adam, said, this is, you need to do these sacrifices. You see God, he reveals himself in different ways, all the way from Adam, and continuing on, you see Noah, and God tells Noah to build a big boat, a big ark. And you see God revealing himself at different times in different ways. And then you come to Abraham. And in Abraham, you find that God says to Abraham, look, I'm going to make you a special people. Now, that's pretty fantastic. So God's revealed himself there. And that's where you see the beginning of Israel. And then you go a little further to Moses. And you get to Moses. And there you find that God reveals himself in a tremendous way, in a way that they hadn't recognized God before. Not only they known him by the name Jehovah, but not to the degree that God wanted them to understand him. And so God reveals himself in a way they can understand more about who he is, more about his character, in delivering them in a miraculous way and providing for them as they go through the desert and listing out his decrees. Saying, this is what I want you to do. If you want to honor me, if you want to be perfect like I'm perfect, these are the things you need to do. Well, they find themselves falling short of that. But in this, what you're finding is that God is revealing himself in the scriptures. And as he reveals himself in the scriptures, he does so to the degree that they are able to find and say, this is really who God is. And he continues to reveal himself. Paul says that this mystery was given to him, and it was given to him to reveal. It was given to him to reveal. It's the unsearchable riches of Christ, that salvation that not only is for the Jews, but you get to the New Testament, you do see it in the Old Testament, by the way, but especially in the New Testament, when Paul goes around and begins churches in the Gentile nations, God's primary focus was really around Israel. And people becoming Israelites, to learning the God of Israel. But as we've seen before in chapter 2, that God has taken the Jews and the Gentiles and brought them together into one new man, namely the church. And it's through Christ that they have this new relationship. And in verse 18, we see that they both have access, not only the Jews, but the Gentiles. And that's why, that's chapter 2, verse 18, that's why we come to chapter 3, and he describes this mystery which before in the old times wasn't known to the Gentiles the way it is now. And primarily the message of not just who God is, but the message of Jesus Christ. That salvation for everyone. Just think through it a little bit. Paul says that it was through him that they learned these things. He calls himself the least of the saints. And it was a grace given to him that he should preach among the Gentiles. His responsibility to tell all the Gentiles what they were to do. That they needed to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now I look at that and I say, okay, that's fantastic, but Paul isn't around now, is he? So how does this apply to us? Well, what did Paul do? Not only did he speak it, but he wrote it down too, didn't he? And we can see revealed in the scriptures the salvation, the incomprehensible riches of Christ. Now, we think through this and we say, well, we put our faith in Jesus Christ, and it's because somebody shared with us Bible verses they memorized, or they took the Bible and opened it. And sometimes one of the things you do is you have somebody read the verses themselves so they can see what the Bible says, and they can see how to be saved. Popular ways to use the Romans Road. That we're all sinners, and we don't deserve, we don't match God's glory, and we don't deserve to go to heaven. Because we don't match God's glory, we fall short of that. Well, there's a consequence. The wages of sin is death. The due payment is death. And because of the due payment is death, we need something to help us. Well, we'll just work for our salvation, right? That'll do it. No, we can't do that. Sometimes we'll skip ahead and come to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, which tells us salvation is by faith. It's not of works. So that way no one can boast. So then we take them and we show them in the scriptures that while we were yet enemies, that Christ died for us. And that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrated His love for us by sending His Son, Jesus Christ. And that all they have to do is to believe in their heart. To believe in your heart that God, in Jesus, and that God raised Him from the dead. If you confess with your mouth, you'll be saved. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So we know what the scriptures say. So far we're saying, okay, that's good. Why is that important for us? How are you sharing the gospel? Are you sharing the gospel with people? And its foundation is not in traditions. Its foundation is in the pastor says. Its foundation is not based on some philosophy somebody came up with a long time ago. It's based on God's Word. Remember that. Your faith, your salvation is on God's solid Word. It's not on man's made up ideas. That's what makes God's salvation, the unsearchable riches of Christ, that's what makes them a firm foundation. It's actually God's Word, not just man's, not just pastor's. Now, hopefully, pastor is sharing God's Word. And God's Word is being spread through Park Lane Baptist Church. How would you know? Well, that's why you bring your Bibles. Because you want to make sure what I'm saying is what God says. God reveals this unsearchable riches, the incomprehensible riches of Christ. Namely, the gospel, the salvation by faith for all, but also what that means. How that makes a new relationship with everyone. That's a believer. A new relationship with God. And even, as we'll see, confidence in Christ. I noticed something here, and at first I thought of it as something minor, but it's not. And it's in verse 10. It says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. God uses the Park Lane Baptist Church is a hub for God's Word, for the unsearchable riches of Christ to be explained and shared. This church does not exist to be a social club. This church exists to express God's Word, not only to worship God, but also to train in what God's Word says. That's why our Awana program. Our Awana program is filled with the gospel of how to be saved, but also with truths from Scripture, so that way kids can learn who God is, who Jesus is, where they stand with God, and the grace that's so abundant with Him. Last Tuesday night, I stood here, I sat over here, and Ron does a fantastic job of leading the Bible study up here, and he's asking the kids. He says, okay, he asked them, what is sin? So it's disobeying God. So, okay, well, because of sin, what do we deserve? Death. Judgment, punishment, they answer. I'm sitting over here, what I'm saying? I'm saying these kids are learning the gospel. Not one child who's gone through any number of weeks in the Awana program can leave here saying they've not heard the gospel. That has not been clearly understood, because these kids are giving the answers to these questions. And the hand isn't just one or two. There's several hands popping up wanting to answer. They know the answers. And I hear some of the boys over here, they don't have their hands up, but they're muttering the answers out. How do you get saved? Well, you need to put your faith in Jesus. You need to trust Jesus as your Savior. They know the answers. Now, they're responsible for how they respond to the answer. And not only this, but they can take those answers and they can take them to their homes and to their friends. This church, and I thought through this, and I thought, you guys really worked this up, because this last year I said in the teens, there's no teen who's going to leave here by the end of this year and not have the gospel memorized. And so that was actually one of the things. If you look down there, all the ladies in the Sunday school class that are down there, you'll see 3 points on the board, 3 points of the gospel. And as concisely as I could put it, to put down the fact that we are guilty before God, and because of our guilt, we deserve eternal punishment because we don't meet God's perfect standard. And a person needs to know who Jesus is, that Jesus is God's Son, who lived a sinless life, was murdered on our behalf, and rose again, taking our punishment for sin upon Himself. And the third point, and you're saying to yourself, okay, so we've got the sin and the punishment, and we got that God's loved us so much, He sent Jesus, and who Jesus is, and what He did for us. The third point is really close to the second point, but it says believe. Instead of saying no, it says believe, so that way they knew there's a distinction between just knowing the gospel and putting your faith in Jesus Christ. A person to be saved is not saved by just knowing what Jesus did for them. They're saved by putting their faith in Jesus Christ. And so in the last point, it speaks about believing that Jesus died for them and came back to life. And putting their trust in what Jesus did on their behalf. The point is this, I looked through it and I said, you know what I've discovered? This last year has been a gospel-centered time. A time where in Awana, a time we've done things in church, a time in the teens, where none of the teens were tested. I literally tested these guys week after week. And after several weeks, they knew basically what it was. So there's two things I knew. One, they knew what the gospel was that they had to deal with. But then also, they had the tools to be able to share with somebody Jesus Christ. God reveals His unsearchable riches of Christ, it says here, the manifold wisdom of God, again relating to the gospel, that we by the church. And notice here, it's not just for us to share with others, but a profound event. So profound that it says here, the powers and the principalities and the powers, that is, the angelic beings, both the good angels, and I would assume the bad angels, could see how God is so wise to be able to from creation and the fall, to have Jesus Christ come, and to be able to create not only a salvation, but to combine people together to a single unity called the church. We find in Peter that Peter writes that the angels, they long to look into these things. These things are mysterious to them. It describes here in verse 8, my Bible, unsearchable riches of Christ. Someone in commentary has described it, or in translation, has described it as unfathomable. The word is used only one other time. It's used in Romans. In Romans 11, talking about God's unfathomable, how unfathomable His love is, His wisdom is. And how it's unsearchable. We can look at the scriptures and we can see examples of it. We can see statements about it. But just to comprehend how deep God's love is for us, how magnificent His wisdom is to be able to put salvation together and to do it in the fashion that He does. It's just fantastic. Okay, so you've seen Christ's incomprehensible riches. You've seen the gospel. Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Have you believed it? And then look at what is the result of it. Now you have confidence. Here, the Gentiles, you know, they're not as good as the Jews, and so not being as good as the Jews to go in and to sit down amongst the Jews, could you imagine what it's like? You've gone someplace where you're not familiar with, maybe a restaurant or a church, and you start seeing people do stuff, and so you do what they do. That's what I do. If I go to a restaurant with somebody who knows what they're doing, and it's a fancy restaurant, and you sit down, and they take the napkin, they pull it off, and the cloth napkin, right? They pull it off and set in their lap, and so, well, obviously you do that. And then you see which silverware they use, because there are 18 of them right there. And so you find, okay, and I know the rule is you work on your way from the out in, but there's also, I've been to a place, not very often, but once in a while you go someplace nice, and there's even a spoon setting at the top. I can use a fork for it. I just feel bad for the poor dish guy. He's got to do all these dishes. So I watch the other person see what they do. Of course, they're probably watching me to find out what I'm doing. And you feel not very confident. You feel a little ashamed, a little embarrassed, and you don't want to do any faux pas. Here are the Gentiles. It says, they have, in verse 12, they have access, boldness and access with confidence through faith in Christ. That access is to God. See, before, the Jews, they had this access to God through the tabernacle and the temple. But now, things are a little different. The Gentiles, because the Gentiles, they could convert and be proselyte Jews, but they had their own court. They could be kind of near the sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, but they couldn't be like, you know, where the Jews were, and especially not where the priests were. They weren't allowed to be there. They had to stay in their own part. But now, they're together. Paul is telling them God's message that they, the Gentiles, these lowly people that are looked down on by the Jews, they have the same access and can have the same boldness before God. They have it because of their faith in Him, and therefore they can confidently come before God. Their confidence is through faith in Christ. It's not through works, but it's through faith in Christ. It's because of what Jesus has done. It's that mystery, that incomprehensible riches that's been revealed. That's that confidence we can have. Sometimes we don't feel very confident when we come before God, do we? Well, God, I blew it again. Haven't we had those prayers? And we don't feel like God really wants to hear us? Or maybe you're asking something from God that's really, really big? I don't know, God, that's a lot of money. Or that's a lot to ask. Or I'm not really worthy of it. Haven't you had those prayers? Those times when you've sat down or on your knees and you're praying to God and you just feel like, I can't do it. You know, it's just too much to ask, or I'm just not worthy enough, or I'm not important enough to ask God. This verse says you approach Him confidently. Why? It's not because of who you are. It's not because of you did a lot of good things for God, and so God's going to listen to you now. It's through faith. It's through faith that you're saved. It's through faith that you confidently, boldly, humbly, but boldly come before God. Listen, you've got that new relationship with God. We find that in chapter 1. That blessing that He's chose us before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before Him. He predestined us to adoption, to make us His. He has redeemed us by His blood. And He's given us an inheritance. You have that inheritance, not based on who you are, or what you've done, but because of this mystery that's in Christ, these unsearchable riches, the fact that you can put your faith in Him and that He saves you. And therefore, your confidence should be overwhelming of any discouragements that you might have. Here he writes and he tells them, look, don't be discouraged because of my tribulations for you. I don't know, is Paul saying there, you Ephesians, you feel real bad. You feel bad because they suffer this persecution because they came to you. Here we are in this big city, and here's this great temple to Artemis, and there's the worship that's taking place there, and all these people worshiping this false god. And so I come along and I share the gospel with you, and they beat me up. Listen, don't feel bad they beat me up because that was how I could get the gospel to you. What I did was for your glory. It was for you to be able to hear the gospel and for you to be saved. This is the ministry, the privilege God has given to me. Follow this passage. The book of Ephesians, he goes through here and he tells them that the Ephesians have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Gentiles, maybe the Gentiles there, he thought, felt like they were inferior to some degree, one way or another. And there are many times that we can feel that way. But he says, look, God saved you in chapter 1. And He gave you that promise, that guarantee that you're going to heaven. And I pray that God will open your understanding so you'll be able to understand. And we look here in verse 9 of chapter 3. He says that Paul was to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, to make all people, that would be both Jews and Gentiles. Now, my translation, in your translation too, I believe, says the word see, that they might see, or you might think understand, the manifold wisdom. The word see there isn't the regular see, like I look at it with my eyes. The word is actually to enlighten. So in verse 1, he says, I pray, or chapter 1, he says, I pray that you'll be enlightened to understand the hope of this calling. In chapter 2, he tells them about that calling, that mystery of Christ, of how they were dead in trespasses and sin, but they've been saved by faith and not by works. And so, in chapter 11, by that salvation, that there's no longer a barrier between the Jews and the Gentiles, between the people that are so-called accepted and not accepted. Instead, that's been broken down. You have that relationship with God, so you have access to Him. It's a great mystery, chapter 3. It's a great mystery that God has revealed to me, to reveal to you, Paul says, and so that you can understand, so that way, verse 9, you can be enlightened what kind of fellowship you have that was from the beginning. It was hidden, but now that the wisdom of God might be made known, not just to you individually, but by the church. The church can be used to show God's great wisdom to the heavenly angels and to the rest of the world, for that matter. It was all according to His their eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus, in whom, in this Jesus our Lord, even though you might feel inferior, with boldness and access, with confidence through Him. So don't be discouraged by my troubles. This was done so that way you could understand this truth. What about you? Again, how often do we come before God and we feel not confident? We don't feel like we have that access to God because we're not somebody important in the church. We're not somebody that's been saved for a lot of years, or we don't know the Bible real well. Listen, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have a new relationship with Him. You fulfill God's Word that way. And in this, you have a confidence because you can act confidently, you can be confident in your ability to come right before God. I mean, right to God. You don't have to ask a friend to ask a friend. You know how that was when you were a kid and in school? Hey, go ask so-and-so if so-and-so likes me. Because you were too chicken to do it. You used to pass notes. Circle one or the other. Circle yes or no. Do you like Joey? And that gets passed around and read by everybody before it gets to the person it's intended to. You have direct access to God. You come right into His throne room and you ask what you want confidently. For if we ask anything in His name, John writes, we know that He hears us. It is through Jesus Christ that you can confidently go before God. And listen, put more application to it. If you know you can go right to God, no matter who you are as a believer, you can go directly to Him and ask Him whatever you want. And in God's wisdom, He'll answer you. Might be no, but it might be yes. Zach were to come to me and ask for what he wants, or Ferrari? My answer would be no. It's not only a matter of practicality. There's no way I could buy him a Ferrari. And not a matter of jealousy, not before I get a red Corvette. But a matter of wisdom. A 16-year-old with a Ferrari. Yeah, that's probably not a good idea. God answers our requests. He loves you. He cares for you. And if I know that I can go to God at any time confidently, then how should I live my life? Should I live a life defeated or one in confidence? Because I know that at any moment, if I need help, God's right here. Not just right there, but right here. In here to help me. A lot of Christians walk around with their heads hung down low. They hang them down low because they don't feel that they have that proper relationship with God, that in order to be able to confidently come before Him. They feel like they're not important enough in ministry. They feel like they're not valuable enough as people who understand, you know, who God is, and they have a complete understanding of not only the scriptures but in the service to Him. Maybe it's because they haven't lived quite right. Yeah, God does want you to get that right with Him, but there's more than that. It's not just about who we are and what we do. Consider this. You are saved how? By faith, right? It's by your submission to Him. How is it then He answers our prayers? He will come to us. or we will go to Him and be able to give our request and know that He will answer according to His will. You can be confident that you have access to God. You can be confident to know that He cares about you. And you can be confident to know that He'll help you. God does that. Why? Because He's God. Not because of anything we've done, but because of what He's done for us. So as we leave here this morning, instead of hanging our heads down low, feeling bad, guilty for being a Christian, feeling that you don't really have that access to God, feeling that, well, God, he must be on His bad side because bad things are happening, forgetting that God puts everything in order for your good and His glory. Consider boldly, and with access, you can confidently come before Him. And confidently, you can live in this life. Father, I thank You so much for all that You've done. You've helped us so that way we can look and understand Your truth. What a great truth it is to know that in this life we can live confidently. To know that as we seek to honor You, we can do it in a way that without fear, without feeling that, you know, we're not as good as somebody else. Whether as a young Christian or one that's been saved for a lot of years, one that's very knowledgeable about the scriptures, or one that's still learning, still struggling with some of the basics. Whether one that is living for You wholeheartedly or one that maybe needs to take a few moments now to get right with You, we know, Father, at any of those positions, we can still confidently approach You. Whether it's for forgiveness, whether it's to give praise, or it's to ask for something, maybe it's just to ask on behalf of somebody else. Father, we know that we can confidently approach You, and I pray that as we leave here today, that we will go confident, knowing that You have shared with us the gospel. For each one here that has put their faith in Christ, that then we can approach you confidently and be able to live such. Father, I ask that you will guide us, that this confidence might demonstrate not only humility towards you, but our salvation, how firm we are in knowing our salvation with you and that great relationship you've given to us. In Jesus' name, amen.